All right. And so today's lesson, the final lesson in our series on forgiveness, is we are our brother's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. For those of you that are following along in your workbooks, this is session 7 and 8 that we're doing today. It starts on page 83. Excuse me. Starts on page 83. This is from the book, the DVD series, and the workbook by my good friend, Dr. Bruce Hebel. Dr. Bruce wrote one of the finest books on forgiveness I think I've ever read. Someone asked me, they said, the book keeps referring to a video. Is there really a video? I said, absolutely there is. There's a DVD series. So there is a DVD series. Next. So we're going to review for those that haven't been here, so you don't feel like you're just listening to the end of a conversation that you weren't privy to. First thing we told you was that God expects forgiven people to forgive others. God expects forgiven people to forgive others. We used the example from our principal scripture, Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, and we converted that whole talents and denarii into modern money. And we said that when God forgave you, he in essence deposited $7.5 billion, because that's what we owed, a debt we could never pay, $7.5 billion worth of forgiveness in your account, and he expects you to use it freely. Okay? Next, we told you that forgiveness is at the core of the gospel message. It's amazing to me how people try to cut the gospel and then without forgiveness. You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day. There's a big discussion right now in our political system about reparations. And my pastor friend said something very profound. He said, if you really have been born again, if you really have come through the cross, he said, it's absolutely wrong for you to expect reparations. He said, the whole point of the gospel is that you forgive and you never expect to be paid back. That'll challenge you, won't it? Next. We told you that unforgiveness is the most harshly disciplined sin for a believer. Unforgiveness is the most harshly disciplined sin for a believer. Number one, I want you to remember that unforgiveness is sin. It's sin. Number two, it is the most harshly disciplined sin for a believer. It is the only sin that the believer can commit where we have actual biblical evidence that Jesus himself says the Father will remove the hedge of protection from your life and allow the tormentor to come into your life. You know, he'll allow the tormentor to come into your life. And I'm going to tell you today some things about how you can spot when somebody's in torment. Okay? And then we told you next that the blood of Jesus covers all sins, including the ones committed against me. The blood of Jesus covers all sins, including the ones committed against me. And we told you that when you refuse to forgive someone, what you are literally saying is that what they've done to you is greater than anything you've ever done to God. We told you that the way forgiveness works, you know, the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we are like we forgive our debtors. So the forgiveness you give is the forgiveness you get. Somebody say amen. All right. Next. All right. So this is our principal text. I'm going to read it. I'm going to go kind of fast through it. So just kind of keep up with me here. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? That's a lot, Lord. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7 or 490 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Just give me more time. And the lord of that slave felt, compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground, just like he did, and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. Give me more time. Next. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. Next. So when the fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Next. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Next. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed. Next, the allegory is over. Jesus is now speaking to you. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Somebody say amen. So we're going to talk today about we are our brother's keeper and what it means to be our brother's keeper. Our principal text for today's lesson is 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And it says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What the scripture is saying here is that now that you have heard the truth, now that you have been taught what the Bible really has to say about forgiveness, now that we've walked you through the protocols of forgiveness and told you how to forgive, you now have a responsibility. This idea that exists in modern Christianity that everything I get is canned goods, it's just for me. It's an unbiblical concept. I'm just getting on. The Lord just gave me another word. We got words like canned preserves. We do. And we feel no compulsion. We feel no desire to use what God gave us to change the world around us. One of my most blessed things as a pastor is when I see somebody walking in something that I've taught them. I was so blessed about a week or so ago. You know, I'm going through Facebook and somebody said, so-and-so mentioned you. And I said, what that joker doing mentioning me? So I wanted to go see what they said about me. And to see what they said about me, I had to see what they said to somebody else. But here's what they were doing. They were walking somebody through forgiveness and telling them, answering a question they had about forgiveness. And when they got to the bottom, they said, Everett Spencer, do you have anything else to add? And so I got on there and told them, I said, so you were listening all that time in church when I thought you weren't paying, you were just playing with your phone. You was actually paying attention, weren't you, Carla? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So you know, but it blesses me. It blesses me because it tells me that this is somebody who understands. I didn't just get this for me. We got to stop this. We got to divorce ourselves from this worldly way of thinking that is all about us. It's not about you. Everything, I told my wife this years ago, and I believe this is true of everything that comes into my hands, everything that comes into my sphere of influence. When I don't care, when God brings money to me, he didn't give me the money to me for me. Don't get me wrong. I'm the first partaker because he entrusted me with it. But he's entrusting me to use it to advance the kingdom. He's entrusting me to take it and expand his influence. So by the same thought process, if God is depositing into you the true, the Bible calls the word of God the true riches. Isn't that what it calls it, sir? Calls it the true riches. If God is depositing you the true riches, how much more does he expect you to take it and distribute it to other people who need it? Are you hearing me? Next. Point number one, God has called us to set other people free. God has called us to set others free. Here's a quote for you. It's right from your book. God has given us the privilege of setting people free by helping them to forgive. God has given us the privilege of setting people free by helping them to forgive. This is a quote from Dr. Bruce. And so it really is a privilege to have the power and the authority of heaven to be able to walk somebody through forgiveness. Now let me say something to you. And y'all, please, I don't know that I'm 100% right on this. I just know this is what I've done. I've had several people that I could see all the signs of torment. And I'm going to show you in a minute how to tell when somebody's in torment, how to tell when they need you to walk them through forgiveness. They have all the signs of torment. They have all the signs of unforgiveness. And I engage with them and start trying to get them to understand, hey, I can help you with this. Let me help you with this. Let me give you the word. I take them through the scripture. And they are so stuck until they don't want my help. They enjoy where they are. Guess what, y'all? I've had to put new boundaries on those relationships. Because here's the thing, we're going to talk to you about bitterness in a minute, but bitterness is contagious. Are you hearing me? You can't catch somebody else's sin, but you can catch the bitterness associated with it. All right? Next. Colossians 1:28 says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete to Christ." So this is our job to admonish every man, to proclaim him, first of all, and to admonish every man, teach every man all wisdom so that they may present every man complete to Christ in Christ. Our job is to help people become more complete. One of the prayers y'all hear me pray all the time, Lord, allow your word to go deep into our heart as a seed. And begin to germinate and destroy all that's not like you until we become the express image of your son. Isn't that what I pray all the time? Because that's what the word is supposed to do. The word is supposed to be molding us and shaping us into the image of Christ. So now, if God gives you some spiritual truth from the word, did he give it to you just for you? No. Because if he gave it to you just for you, then that means he only wants you to be in his image. That destroys the whole God so loved the world. Destroys that whole concept. Next. Second scripture for this point. I think that's 2 Corinthians. Did I say 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us, now watch this, who reconciled us to himself through and gave us the ministry of what? So once we were reconciled to Christ, we got what? Once we were reconciled to God in Christ, we got what? The ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I just wish I could get along with people better. He has committed to us the The word of reconciliation. I just wish I could get over how I feel about this whole race thing. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I just wish I didn't feel the way I feel about them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so whenever we allow something to cause us to think that we can't get over how we feel about a certain situation or a certain group of people or a certain, we are saying that the word of reconciliation ain't working in me. We got a problem in the church in America. We only want to minister to folks who look like us. Ain't that crazy? Craziest thing I ever saw. So you're going to let a whole group of people go to hell because you don't have a real burden for souls. You can't see souls. You see soul brother. Next. I'm going to keep moving. I got 5 points today. We have a responsibility, watch this, to confront others about sin. We have a responsibility to confront others about sin. This is a tough one. Namely because we live in a culture that says, don't judge me. Can't nobody judge me but God. And if you ain't him, you definitely can't judge me. Oh, yeah. And so we don't like, but see, we told you the Bible calls us the body of Christ, right? And I taught you how your body is constantly judging you. Eat stuff that ain't good for you, high blood pressure. Eat stuff that ain't good for you, clogged arteries. That's what that is. That's your body judging you. The body judges the body. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works. And so Ron is my brother. Ron has a sincere love for the well-being of Everett Spencer. So if Ron in his wisdom sees Everett Spencer about to do something that he knows is going to destroy my testimony, it's going to destroy my marriage, it's going to destroy all that, Ron has a responsibility to risk our relationship to save me from myself. We don't teach this in the church. So we allow people to continue in sin. When Paul asks the question, what then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Then he answers the question himself. He says, God forbid. We allow people to continue in sin because we don't feel like it's our, well, I just didn't feel like it was my place to judge. Because, you know, I ain't perfect either. Don't worry, somebody's coming to judge yours too. That's why the Bible says with the same measure that you judge, measure unto another, so shall be measured unto you. That's why the Bible tells us, it says, if a brother be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. What does it mean when it says considering yourself? It's saying, hey, how you want people to handle it when you get in a mess? When you drive your car in the ditch, you don't want somebody showing up throwing rocks at the ditch. No, you need somebody with a tow truck and a water hose to clean you off. Next. Matthew 18:15-17. Watch this. If your brother sins, now I like the way this says this because one translation says if your brother sins against you, okay, this is the broader, more accurate translation, I believe. It says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Next. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. In other words, you've already gone privately. You've tried to have this private conversation. Ron's come to me. He's told me, hey, Everett, I saw you over here and it didn't look good, and I just wanted to take time to talk to you, see what's going on, see if there's anything I can do to help you. I tell him, man, mind your business. I'm grown. You can't judge me. So now Ron knows what he saw. Bible tells him step two is to go find two more spiritual people, bring them with him, and start the conversation again. Are you hearing me? All right, now, step three, watch this. If you refuse to listen to them, tell it to the church. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. We're going to tell it to the church now. I wish I had somebody in here that knew how to tell it to the church. Tell it to the church. Well, that sounds like gossip, preacher. You got a whole message you preach every year about not gossiping. So how you going on one hand tell us not to gossip, then on the other hand you going to pull the scripture out trying to get all spiritual, tell us to tell it to the church. If you refuse to listen even to the church, watch this, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. You got to study your Bible to know how the Jews felt about Gentiles and tax collectors so that can really make some sense to you. Okay? So let's talk about this for a moment. Can something be true and still be gossip when it's talked about? I heard somebody say, it ain't gossip if it's true. Tell me again, sweetheart. That's a lie from hell. Okay. She been telling me about hell since she was 6 years old. That's hell, daddy. That's hell. She's right. Because something can be true, but you can still be gossiping in the way you discuss it. Let me give you an example. I go to Brother Ron, since Ron's helping me preach this morning. I go to Brother Ron and I tell him, man, I need you to pray for me. Me and Carol, we're going through a rough patch right now, and I need you to pray. Now, Ron being a spiritual man, Ron's going to handle it by saying, okay, brother, let me pray with you. And if somebody ever comes to Ron and says, what's going on, Pastor? Ron's going to say, Pastor needs our prayer right now. As a matter of fact, let's pray for him right now. He needs our prayer right now. See? Now, the person that ain't Ron, they heard the truth. We're going through a rough patch. Here's how they tell it. Child, you know what? We really need to pray for Pastor. I don't want to go into no details. I mean, you don't need the details. But they really need our prayer. I was praying the other night, and it just came to me that they could really use our prayer, because I don't know if him and Sister Carol ain't going to make it if we don't pray for them. See, that ain't what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who you've done everything the Bible says to rescue them from themselves, and they've made it clear they're content in their situation. Now you come to the church, you got two more witnesses with you, two or three witnesses that can say, we tried to redeem this person. We tried to help them. We tried to get them to see the error of their ways. Now the church knows they're a Gentile, tax collector. Does it mean we don't love them? Nope. But we're going to teach them like somebody who needs salvation. Are you hearing me? Next. All right. People need help getting free from unforgiveness. Listen to me. People need help getting free from unforgiveness. Excuse me. No truer statement has ever been made. I was sitting in a restaurant year or so, almost 2 years ago now, I'm sitting in a restaurant. I'm sitting next to another pastor. We're at a pastor's breakfast. That means everybody at the table is what? Pastor. Some of them retired. You know, we all sitting there. The brother next to me has something that he wants to present. Now, one of the rules of this whole table is we don't talk business. We don't talk shop. We're here to fellowship. We're here. So ain't nobody talking about how well their meeting went. Ain't nobody talking about how good they preached Sunday. Ain't nobody talking. None of that. We're here to socialize, enjoy one another's. Now, if you got an issue, you got a concern, you need prayer, we talk that through too. Okay? He wants to bring an issue to the floor. And I told him, I said, let me help you with that, you know, because this is not the place for it. But if I position it right, they might listen. Well, he's getting real frustrated because people are involved in fellowship. No, y'all don't understand. When we get together to fellowship, we really fellowship. Sometimes there's people there that we haven't seen in months, sometimes years. And so we really, hey, man, how you been? How's the family? You know, this is the way it's going. So he's getting really frustrated. He's getting so frustrated until I can feel the steam coming off of him. A few minutes later, I hear very quietly, one, 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 two, three, four, five. So I turned to him and I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm just counting the lights. I said, no, you ain't. I said, you're about to explode and you're trying to count down to control it. I said, you don't even realize you're in torment. I said, what's going on with you? And so when I started to dig to try to bring him to a place of unforgiveness, bring him through unforgiveness to a place of forgiveness, he wasn't ready. He didn't even want to acknowledge, oh, I forgave that already. Let me tell y'all something. People need help with getting free from unforgiveness. Because, see, when they get entangled in this thing, they start thinking that they have a right to feel the way they feel. And the worst thing people can feel is that they are entitled to it. You don't understand. You don't understand what they did. You weren't there. You don't know how I feel. Next. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, brethren, I just talked about this earlier. Even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Next. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So we have this obligation to help each other get free. We have this obligation to help one another get untangled. And it says, do it in a way that you consider yourself. Some people say that means consider yourself that you ain't got it all together. No, it means deal with them the way you want somebody to deal with you. Because your time's coming. Your time's coming. You're not going to bat 1,000. Just because you batted 1,000 last week don't mean you're going to bat 1,000 this week. I'm telling you, some of y'all lying about that 1,000 because there was a couple of those that were strikes. Next. All right. So we're into our page 96. You have a blank there, those of you doing your books. The number one sign of unforgiveness is bitterness. The number one sign of unforgiveness is bitterness. Somebody tell me what bitterness is. What? It's hard to believe she's a college graduate sometimes. When what? Pain that turns into anger. I like that. Well, have you ever drank something? Who here has drank pure cranberry juice? Has anybody here drank pure cranberry juice? Bitter, isn't it? When you put it in your mouth, it makes you like this, don't it? You can't help but make that face. So you drink it. Well, guess what? When people have bitter attitudes, you have the same response. It makes you recoil. Are you hearing me? Let's move. Next one. Here's scripture, Ephesians 29-32. He says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Next. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Next. Now watch this. Watch this. Because see, he's telling you what bitterness is. Let all, and he's telling you the things that quench the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and what's slander? Somebody tell me what slander is? Huh? What you say bad about somebody. I like you. You can help me preach anytime. Tearing down their character. Let all slander be put away from you, along with all malice. These are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit, y'all. Next. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven. There it is again. You get forgiven the way you forgive. You're going to be forgiven the way you forgive. I think I got another scripture for this one. Ah, yeah, that's my favorite one. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Next. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. When you don't totally uproot the root, I'm telling you, it's going to produce fruit. My grandfather, I told y'all, my grandfather had a garden. We had to, this is what he called it, de-weed the garden. So every so many days, he would send us out. We had to walk the rows in between those vegetables, and we were looking for weeds. And if you wanted to get Ben Spencer really upset, you reach down and you grab that weed and you pull it, but you don't get the root. He taught all of us how to grab that weed and you twist and you pull to ensure that you get the root. Here's why. He knew if you didn't get the root, we got to deal with that again next week. See, you wondering why you dealing with some of the same stuff? Because you never dealt with the root. Next. All right, so how to help someone forgive? Next. How to help someone forgive. Those of you that are in your books, you got an A there. Under how to help someone forgive, page 97. First blank there says, recognize their unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the word there. You want to recognize their unforgiveness. Well, no, the bitterness is a symptom of the unforgiveness. So you recognize the unforgiveness. I told you, the way I even got even introduced to this book is Dr. Bruce. We were just having general conversation. And he is so sensitive and so keen that he looked at me and said, hey, why don't you just tell me your story? And I started telling him my story. And I didn't even get into it good when he said, you know you're dealing with unforgiveness, right? I said, no, I'm not. He said, oh, yeah, you are. I said, but I'm not. He goes, no. He said, really, you are. And he was insistent. He said, listen, if you want your church to flourish, you're going to have to deal with this. And he told me his story, and then he walked me through how to forgive. Number one, Here's how you're going to recognize their unforgiveness. Number one, you're going to listen for verbal clues. Listen for verbal clues. There are things that people say that let you know, I can't stand him. Somebody, well, listen, when you just say somebody's name and the person responds by going, I can't stand him, I really need prayer where he's concerned. That's a verbal clue. I learned something this week, Lois. I went to the dentist. I had to have some pretty extensive work done. So, and I told my dentist this when they got finished. They put this thing in my mouth because they had to have my mouth. You know, they treat you like you got a flip-top head. They open your mouth so wide. And they put this thing back in the back of my mouth that kept me from closing my mouth so that they could do the work, you know. And so I got this thing back here, and there's no way I can close my mouth. So by the time they finished the work, I told the dentist, I said, thank you. He said, what? I said, God used you to teach me something. He said, really? He said, what? I said, I learned today that your mouth is really designed to be closed. Did you know that? Your mouth is actually designed to be closed. Because when you hold it open, it literally hurts. So it's designed to be closed. So when we're talking about listening, most of us have very poor listening skills. We listen for when is our next time to speak. We ain't really listening to what the person's saying. We're listening for when they're going to take a break or a pause so we can get ours in. So now when we say listen for verbal clues, you have to really be intent. Okay, let me breathe this in. Let me hear what they're really saying. All right? Second thing. Number two, ask leading questions. Ask leading questions. Here's a leading question. So, how does this make you feel? Tell me, you told me you don't like this person, but how do you feel? How do you feel when you hear their name? How do you feel when you think about them? Would you say that you're a little tormented by the thought of them? Would you say that they irritate you, just the thought of them? Leading questions, because it's helping you discover what you want to discover. Next, ask the validating question. Would you say that you experience, first blank there, torment from time to time? Would you say that you experience torment from time to time? Listen, if somebody's got this kind of power in your life, that's way too much power for one person to have, where the very thought of them releases torment. Then you ask the second question, do you feel tormented? Do you feel tormented? Next, I got to move, I'm running out of time here. Number three, identify the wound. That's the word there, wound. Identify the wound. What do I mean by identify the wound? Once they tell you they feel tormented, how did they hurt you? What did they do that hurt you? Listen to me. Dr. Bruce, you know, we took his advanced class. So sometimes because he travels so much, somebody will call him and they'll say, we really need to talk to you about this. And he'll say, I'm out of town. He'll give him my number, call Everett. And he'll talk to you. And so we talk to people. We talk people through this. And what you have to really do is you have to be willing to go to the root of the issue. And sometimes you're talking about going back to stuff that happened when people are kids. Because that's where the torment started, and that's where the unforgiveness started, and that's where you got to get them delivered. He tells a story, if you read his book or watch the video, he tells a story of a young lady, a woman he met in her 50s. He met this woman in her 50s. When she was 3 or 4 years old, her parents, in a desperate need for money, took money from a neighbor, and in exchange, he was able to take her and do what he wanted to do with her. He tells a story. And how this woman was in torment her whole life. And how he had to walk her through forgiving not only her parents, but the man and the whole deal. Are you hearing me? Next, you're going to listen for, again, verbal clues. Listen for verbal clues. Listen to verbal clues about the wound. They'll tell you about this stuff when you're trying to really help them. You're going to ask, next one, you're going to ask probing questions. You're going to ask probing questions. So this is your time when you got permission to be nosy. Oh, yeah. You got to ask people probing questions. You got to be willing to, till you hear them say, ow. Okay? Here's a probing question. Who hurt you the most? How did they hurt you? What wound causes you the most emotional pain or distress? These are all probing questions. Okay? Next. Gain access to their sacred place. Gain access. Now, here's why we call it their sacred place. Guess what? The sacred place is where people keep their secrets. They keep the stuff that they know can hurt them, and they don't want anybody to know about it. Because it tells you how they became the person they are today. And they may want to be something other than what they are today, but because they got all this stuff stored in that sacred place, somebody who's anointed has to get access to that sacred place and help them clean that closet out. Are you hearing me? So here's how you gain access. Number one, assure them of God's love for them. Assure them of God's love for them. You'd be surprised how many people, they're going through something and they feel like it happened to them because God doesn't love them. All right, and if it happened, the longer ago it was, the harder they can be saved. They can be, God can be using them in signs and wonders. But when you start dealing with this stuff, you'll find out they still feel like God doesn't love them. Help them know that they are safe with you. Help them know that they are safe with you. In other words, make sure they understand you ain't going to go telling their business. You're not going to go talking about it. This is not stuff you talk about. Are you hearing me? Assure them of your confidentiality. We just talked about that. Here's an important point. You cannot help someone forgive if you are judgmental toward them. You cannot help someone forgive if you are judgmental towards them. So you have to be able to hear this stuff. You know, I'm going to help y'all. You got to pray this prayer. This is the prayer that I had to pray when I first started really operating in pastoral and, you know, ministering people, you know, hearing people confess. I said to God, I said, give me the grace to forgive. I did. I said, I need the grace to forgive. I need not the grace. I need the grace to forget. I literally asked God for the grace. Give me the grace to forget so that I can hear people and they talk to me. That's why when people say, remember when you prophesied this? No, I really don't. Because I've asked God for the grace to forget. My wife will tell me stuff I prophesied. I prophesied that. Yeah, you did. But when I hear people's confessions, people confess stuff to me, they tell me stuff they're going through, the reason they know it's safe is because when I walk away from that conversation, that stuff is left at the altar. It's left with Jesus. I am not Jesus. I'm not going to be walking around with your stuff and mine. I got my own stuff. Help them see how God views. Anybody want to take a stab at this one before she lights it up there? What's the blank there? You got the scripture there. What's the blank? Unforgiveness. Thank you. How she come ahead and get it and y'all couldn't get it? So, she listened to the sermon. Help them see how God views unforgiveness. So you want to help them see that unforgiveness is sin. E, address roadblocks to forgiveness. Address the roadblocks to forgiveness. One of the roadblocks we told you is that people feel entitled. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how that makes me feel. God expects forgiving people to forgive others. Vengeance belongs to God, not to you or me. Right? Keep moving. We already covered it. Next. Romans 12, 17 to 20. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Next. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. There's that thing again. Be at peace with all men. Next. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Next. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him drink, for in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. In other words, the Bible teaches, be kind to your enemy. Be kind to the person who's trying to hurt you. Next. All right, we're coming in the home plate here. Got two more points and we'll be done. As it concerns this person you're trying to help, you want to coach them through forgiveness. Coach them through forgiveness. So you're going to take them through those. That's why we gave you that bookmark with those seven protocols on there. So that you didn't get it? I'll make sure you get one. You should have gotten one. You got a bookmark with the seven protocols on it. Okay? It walks you through the protocols. Okay? Walk them through the protocols of forgiveness. Now, let me tell y'all something. I don't remember all the protocols. I remember the most important one. The most important one is the one that says, I specifically remember forgiving that. That's the most important one for me. I specifically remember forgiving that. When the devil brings it up, I look right at him and go, I specifically remember forgiving that. I'm over that. Okay? Watch for signs of peace and release. Peace and release. The lady who I told you about, she said she was molested when she was 3 years old and her parents had sold her to this guy. After Bruce walks her through the whole process of forgiveness, walks her through how to forgive these people, he checked back with her like the next day and she said, Immediately she said, her heart felt light. She said, my heart feels light for the first time. She said, I've never had this feeling before. And then when he checked on her the next day, she said, it was the first night that she had slept completely through the night in her entire life. Okay? So she exemplified peace and release. Then it says, repeat as necessary. Why does it say that? Because you're going to have to repeat it. You're going to have to go through it. Again and again, okay? And last point, praise God with them for the freedom of forgiveness. Praise God with them for the freedom of forgiveness. He set me free. Hey, listen, there was no greater moment than when I got free from some stuff. And I was able to go, okay, that's over, I'm done. It's all on the cross now. Jesus can handle all of it. All right? All right, that's my time. I don't have time to do a lot of elaboration. Hopefully you all got something from this series. Those of you that are completing your books, if you missed anything, the messages are online. We'll give you where to find them so you can go back and get what you missed. Those of you that have completed your books, I want to welcome you. You are now officially members of New Dimensions Church. Let's pray.